biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, thank you for joining us again today on another Transforming Conversation. And this past Saturday, Pastor Rock, I don't know if you heard that we had a testimony from a gentleman who was thankful for these conversations and how helpful they have been to him. So that was encouraging.
Good.
And so I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us in these conversations, because I really think they are, as the title says, transforming. Today we want to look at a scripture in 2 Samuel, starting in chapter 6, verse 3. And we're going to read down through verse 7. And verse 3 starts, "They placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it in from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kind of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took a hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God." Pastor Rock, this seems like a very harsh thing that God done. And there are some other instances in Scripture where it seems that God just seems almost unfair in what he does, and almost how it's really above and beyond what is deserved. Because Uzzah was just trying to help and just trying to steady the ark.
So says you.
So says my, yes, my understanding. And it just seems that, how do we make sense of these things when we read them, that God seems really difficult, you know, some of his things that he does?
Well, the key is to take any story, any verse, and then lay it aside, all the rest of the stories and all the rest of the verses. Because if you take one isolated passage, story, or verse out of the context of the totality of Scripture, you can quickly run to erroneous conclusions. Mm. And in this case, the Scriptures tell us that God is love, that God is gracious, that God is merciful. And it repeats those things from Genesis to Revelation. And so within that context, when you have an event like this, where it seems like, you know, God was having a bad day and just had to smack down somebody, well, the first thing you need to say to yourself is, How do I reconcile this with all of the statements about God's mercy enduring forever, and his awesome grace, and his love toward us? And when you put it into that context, then I think you can begin to interpret this passage. So let me start to address what I believe was happening here. And in no particular order. First of all, when it came time for the ark of God to be returned, God had given very specific instructions on how the ark was to be transported. It was to be carried on poles by men. It was not to be thrown on a cart pulled by oxen. Mm. And David knew that. putting it on an ark pulled by oxen was the way the Philistines handled it. But God's people had been instructed that it was to be carried on poles by specific individuals. So first of all, it should have never been on that cart. And David allowing it to be transported that way was in flagrant violation of a clear word from God.
And David knew that.
David absolutely knew that. Mm. David absolutely knew that. And the reality is, Uzzah probably knew it.
Mm. Right.
So he wasn't this totally innocent bystander. In fact, you know, we're not given every detail of the story.
Right.
But the ark had been in Uzzah's household. It had been sitting in his home for quite some time. And when you're around the sacred and the holy for an extended period of time, sometimes you lose the awe and the wonder and the fear and the respect.
That's right. Wow.
The old preacher Vance Havner, commenting on this story, said it's an example of the fact that when we lose the awe of God, what we're left with is awful.
Wow.
So is it possible, because again, the story doesn't give us all the backstory, is it possible that Uzzah, in his familiarity with having the ark around, lost the fear, lost the respect, lost the wonder, and began to get careless and make assumptions? And is it possible that putting it on an ox cart might have been his suggestion?
Right.
See, we don't know that piece. But what we do know is it should have never been on an ox cart.
Right.
And that was a clear violation of God's word. And he was a participant in that.
And willingly knowing.
And I believe knew.
Right.
Okay. Secondly, David sought the advice of men on bringing back the ark. He didn't seek a word from God. That was the second mistake. Mm. Because you and I can't really fathom how holy that ark was.
Right.
Not because of the materials it was made out of, but because in those days, prior to the indwelling Holy Spirit in believers, God often manifested his presence in an object, a cloud of fire, a cloud of smoke. In this case, the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And the mercy seat and the inside of the Ark of the Covenant. So God was literally on and in that object because he chose this tangible reminder to the people of Israel that he was present with them. Mm. And because of that, he laid down very strict guidelines and had previously enforced those guidelines. When people were careless, when people who were not supposed to took the cover off the Ark of the Covenant, they died.
Right.
They died.
Wow.
And it wasn't because God was in a foul mood. The reality is, in ways we don't understand, God's holiness, his total otherness, if it's touched by a sinful human being, the only result,
is death.
Can be death.
Right.
Not because God's angry, but for the same reason, if I'm standing in a puddle of water and grab a live electrical feed, I'm going to die.
Right.
And it doesn't mean the guy who's controlling the feed has something against me. You cannot approach a holy God as a sinful human being and live. Mm. And that's something we don't grasp.
Right.
In our culture, we've reduced God to a homeboy.
Right.
A celestial bellhop who does our bidding.
Right.
We've lost sight of the absolute holiness of God. He is beyond our comprehension. Remember, in those days, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Then once a year. And they tied a rope to him in case he did something foolish and died so that they could pull his body back out.
Right.
So these people were aware of the magnitude of what they were dealing with. And yet, David, by seeking human advice rather than following God's clear word, Uzzah and David and the others, by putting the holy ark upon an ox cart like the Philistines would treat it, rather than having it being carried by the designated individuals on poles, the whole bunch showed that they had gotten loosey-goosey with something you can never get loosey-goosey with.
Right.
And that's the holiness of God.
Wow. That'll preach, man.
They had lost the wonder.
Right.
And a carryover lesson is that Christians who sit in church and idly mouth platitudes about the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and the laws of God without any reverence or fear or awe, really, in many ways, are manifesting the same attitude as Uzzah.
Right. Wow.
So, it wasn't supposed to be on a cart. It wasn't supposed to be pulled by oxen. Uzzah, I think it's safe to assume, had gotten casual with it.
Right.
He knew the law. He wasn't innocent. So, when it appeared one of the oxen was stumbling, if his heart had been in the right place, he would have trusted God to protect the ark.
Right.
Because it appeared an oxen was stumbling. There was no guarantee that that ark was going to fall off the cart.
Right.
And even if it started to slide, could not God have intervened? But because of the punishment, I think it's safe to assume that Uzzah did feel like he had privileged status.
Yeah.
That somehow the law of God didn't apply to him.
Right.
Because it had been in his house. He had seen it daily. He had gotten used to it.
Right.
He had gotten comfortable with it. And who can say but when he reached out, it wasn't almost like an attitude of, well, the rest of you can't do this, but I can do this.
Right.
But even if it wasn't that, the commandment of God was clear. You don't touch this.
Right.
You don't touch this.
Right.
That's why it's carried on poles. The poles inserted through the rings, and the men lift it, and nobody touches it.
Right.
If God had allowed him to live, well, then God's word
right.
would have immediately been null and void.
Right.
God would have been the author of a lie. God would have said, if you do this, this will happen, and then not backed it up.
Right.
Now, if God says, if you do this, this will happen, and you do it and it doesn't happen, now everything God says is suspect.
Right. Yeah, what do I believe?
But God's word is God's word.
Right.
And even if Uzzah was innocent, there was more at stake than his life. The integrity of God's word was at stake.
Right.
Touch it, die.
Right.
If he touches us and doesn't die, then do we believe God when God says, unless you repent, you will perish?
Right.
Do we believe God when he says, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide upon him? I mean, if God can't be taken at his word,
right,
then everything is a joke.
Then what are we doing here? Right.
And the reality is, in ways we don't understand, God and His Word are one.
Right.
God's Word is actually an extension of who He is. It is an expression of who He is. If it's unreliable, God is unreliable. But the fact that His anger burned against Uzzah, to me, is indicative, and again, here we're not given detail. It's indicative of the fact that Uzzah probably was acting in what we call presumption.
Right.
Presuming that somehow he could do this just because he had been near this object.
Right.
That's like assuming you know God just because you're in church.
Right.
Near is not in.
Right.
By acting as he did, my guess is he was being presumptuous, disrespectful, high-handed, as if he was above the law of God. Secondly, perhaps God's anger burned against him because in acting that way, he put God in the place of having to take his life.
Right.
Because otherwise, again, the word of God in that minute would have become null and void.
Right. That whole concept of familiarity could possibly be another conversation.
I mean, familiarity is often, I've said this in teaching, is often the greatest barrier to understanding. Hmm. When you get to a certain level of familiarity with something, you assume you've got it figured out, that you understand it.
Right.
Then you stop seeking, you stop inquiring, you stop asking, and you stop learning. And I'm afraid that's true of many in churches. They are familiar with the gospel, and they assume that that means they really understand it.
Right.
And so they put it on cruise control, and they take too much for granted and don't realize there's an awful lot that they don't know.
Right.
So familiarity can be the real barrier to understanding and learning and growing. But I ultimately come back to what I said at the beginning. A man cannot touch the holiness of God. A man cannot touch God's manifested presence. As it existed in the Old Covenant, a man cannot touch that and survive any more than I can stand in a puddle of water and grab a live wire and survive. The second he touched the physical manifestation of the presence of God as a sinful man, he was done.
Yeah.
He was done. The fact that God's anger burned against him says something about his heart. Because God's anger is righteous. God doesn't apply his anger unfairly and unjustly.
Right.
Because then he would cease to be God.
Right.
So God's anger is always righteous. He had cause. He doesn't give us all the details, but we know that God's anger is righteous, and it's only expressed where there is cause. So from the rest of Scripture, we know Uzzah had given ample cause. He was not just this nice guy who was trying to be helpful, and God killed him.
Right.
You know, far from it.
And the whole concept of the holiness, like you said, we can't even scratch the surface.
Well, and we don't even try. I mean,
are we even capable of grasping something?
Not fully. No. Right. No. And see, this is the wonder. The story of Uzzah really is a reminder of the wonder of the incarnation. Because in the incarnation, God became flesh and dwelt among us, and he allowed people to touch him.
Mm. Right.
The apostle said, wrote, that which we have seen and handled, the word of life, the living God. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Yet he not only allowed people to touch him, but after his resurrection, he invited them to touch him on more than one occasion. But that's New Testament. In the Old Testament, God, prior to the incarnation, in a sense, incarnated his presence in objects. And the Ark of the Covenant was that object. And to touch that was to touch God himself, and you can't do that and live.
Do you think that the concept of familiarity is something individual to everybody, that we have to, of how we have to guard against
that? We have to guard against getting too comfortable with God.
Right. Like you said, we know the gospel. We've heard it, you know, if you've been in the church, you've heard it almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And we sing songs, and I think we've all done singing worship songs that are just so familiar, we just kind of spit out the words.
And songs of commitment. The story is told of A.W. Tozer and Leonard Ravenhill, both now gone, sitting on the platform in a revival meeting where they both had spoken. And at the closing of the night, the people were asked to stand, and they were singing one of those commitment songs, like I Surrender All. And I believe it was Tozer who turned to Ravenhill and said, Len, it occurs to me that Christians may not tell lies, but they sure do sing them.
Right.
We can stand in church and, because of familiarity, sing and make these declarations that are far removed from where we're actually living.
Right.
And that's an indicator we've lost the awe.
Right.
And as Havner said, what you're left with then becomes awful. So Uzzah was not struck down without cause. The moment he touched the ark, his death was inevitable. And God's anger is always righteous. So Uzzah had given cause. God just doesn't give us the details, but that doesn't mean Uzzah hadn't given cause.
Right.
And again, my suspicion is he played fast and loose because he had been near it and thought he was above the law.
Right.
And a lot of people made mistakes in that.
Yeah.
I mean, Uzzah died also because of David's disobedience and irresponsibility. But if you study the story of David, he left a lot of dead people in his wake because of his sin and his irresponsibility.
If you read a couple verses down through that, one of the verses says that David got angry at God for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then one verse later,
which deserved a ghetto slap.
Yeah, then one verse later it says, then David feared the Lord and called it the place of Perez, I believe it said, where I think David came to his senses and said, oh man.
David should have realized, because he played fast and loose with a commandment of God, it put Uzzah in that position.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I mean, you know, because of David, Uriah died.
Right.
Because of David, punishments came upon Israel where as many as 70,000 died. Because of David, the priests at a place where he had hidden while fleeing from Saul, they and their children and wives were slaughtered.
Right.
David led a lot of corpses in his wake.
You're giving us a lot of material
because
here.
Of his irresponsibility and his disobedience. You see, one of the lies we tell ourselves is that our sin only hurts us.
Right. Isn't that the truth?
But it has implications for others.
Yeah, nobody sees me. I could do this. Nobody understands. I mean, nobody, you know, knowing what is going on.
I'm not hurting anybody.
I'm not hurting anyone. Yeah, those are some of the lies, you know, that we choose to live under. But what's more alarming to me is a familiarity aspect. And my prayer is that those listening today will take heed to that. You know, guard against it, because it is a dangerous place to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you get so familiar that...
when we worship and speak about God's holiness, we're touching holy things.
Right.
But in the new covenant, under grace, we can touch holy things, but we should never touch them the way Uzzah touched.
Right.
With presumption and carelessness.
Even reading scripture, we've read, you know, we could read a passage 500 times and then you mm-hmm. just kind of mouth the words, but really never understand what
you're reading. Yeah, again, we live in a democracy. And democracies, I think, have some nasty effects upon spirituality. One being that in a democracy, everybody has equal rights under the law. Because of that, many Americans assume that every belief has equal validity before the bar of truth.
Wow, right.
Not true.
Right.
But the other thing is, in a democracy, you stress equality. God is not our equal.
Right.
And we are not God's equal.
Right.
And God's just not another person with one vote. And truth isn't determined by counting hands. And we have lost the reverential awe and wonder and fear of God and reduced him to, you know, the great counselor, our good buddy, or as atheists mockingly call him, the sky pilot. And we've lost the sense that even using God's name should be done with the utmost of respect, as opposed to unbelievers who first recourse anytime they're surprised is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Right, right.
OMG, OMG on Facebook, you know? Yeah. I mean, the story of Uzzah says, if you lose your respect for who God is, you're going to do some stupid stuff. Some of them may cost you your life, not because God's a bad dude, but because you were really, really, really foolish.
That's right. Yeah, my prayer is that we wake up. Again, we're bumping up against time.
It's fine. I shot my wad.
Well, thank you again, sir, for your time and new light, new understanding. It's always transformational.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.